Joining us now is a pleasure to bring on my next guest. Represents folks in South Baldwin County. State Representative Steve McMillan is on the line. Representative, thank you so much for coming on the program. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thank you for the opportunity. Look forward to it always. You're knowledgeable and that helps.
Well, it's like I said, it's a... I guess knowledgeable in a sense of whether it's good or bad. It seems to be something we could at least offer to our listeners down here. Sometimes missed by what I think goes on in Montgomery is Southwest Alabama. But let's get right into it. Hearing about the session sounds to me like you guys are going to go for 3 days the first couple of weeks and then take that third week off and reevaluate. Take it in increments. That seemed to be what you're hearing as well.
Yeah. And some modest variations of that. For example, just stay up there 5 days and do some of the bills that we had hoped we might be able to do in a special session, like the liability legislation, the economic development, a couple of other things. Pass those and then come take a recess. And hopefully everybody would get their vaccinations during that period of time. And then we can reassess what to do and how to go about doing it. It's you've seen the State House, so you know what we have to deal with. I'm talking about this meeting space now. They figure it out for everybody except the public. And I don't know, there are a couple of possibilities for the public. There's a small auditorium over in the Capitol behind them. On street level, that could hook up with the technology and be a good place for the public to go, but somebody would have to reinforce the social distancing and mask wearing and all those kinds of things. So it's going to be an issue, but that's top priority is having access for the public without jeopardizing their health.
Let's talk about the State House, and we'll move on to the actual legislation. But I had a few guests on over the past few weeks. Let's talk about just that old highway building built in 1963. It poses all kinds of health hazards with mold in the walls, and they're talking about it leaking all the time. You have random fires at times in that building.
Flooding, too.
Yeah. I mean, just like... With the age of COVID, I mean, do you think the building is as culpable to this for the situation that you guys face as anything else? I mean, obviously, a pandemic is a pandemic, but it makes it much more difficult to convene your business.
Well, we just lose so much flexibility when we're stuck with the room layout, and you can't. For example, it's going to be difficult to talk with constituents that will have access to the floors five or six, to bump into them in the hall and have a chance to visit with them, which is probably going to be very difficult to do. And that's a pretty standard thing up until now.
I don't see that changing anytime soon. It just seems like, well, it's too much of a political hot potato. We're just going to have to make do with what we got for the time being.
Yeah, we actually have had some of the clerks have real serious problems with the mold.
Do you think that opens the state up to potential lawsuits or any kind of liability?
I would hope not. I hadn't thought about that, but that might very well be a potential. Yeah.
I mean, like, I get it. A lot of listeners to this program are like, oh, those guys, they don't need a new state house. Let them meet in tents. Let them, you know, this is not, you know, this isn't some kind of special class of people. But to have that real, if you really want, like, equal branches of government, then and you believe in that system, it would behoove you as a conservative to want the legislative to be engaged as much as it's constitutionally mandated to be.
I've been to other state capitals, and they're interesting in most of the ones that I've been to. Well, all the ones I've been to, have been renovated. For example, Maryland retained their historic essence of their structure, but they put in the electronics under the carpet and that sort of thing. So it's the modern technology is hidden, you might say. So it doesn't take away from the historic integrity of the building and the meeting chambers.
Let's move on to some other things. You mentioned getting the easy stuff done. I think that's a safe assumption. Some of the governor's executive orders with taxation and economic development probably will be at the top of the list of priorities. Obviously, the budgets are the, you know, the one thing the legislature is mandated to do. What else do you think is going to be prioritized in those first couple of weeks?
I don't think there's any doubt but what medical marijuana and lottery or some other form of gaming would be introduced. I don't see it passing early on. We'll just have to see. Those all have the potential of being extremely controversial, as you well know, and will attract a lot of attention from the public.
The lottery's an interesting one because it seems like you for the first time in a long time, you do have a lot of the powers that have prevented a lottery from happening in the past, and that's mostly the gaming interest in Alabama, kind of aligning right now, trying to find some kind of agreement. So maybe we're closer to that than we have been in the past.
Hopefully. That's the only way it'll ever work out.
I mean, it seems like we revisit this issue every single election cycle, and it's every single legislative session. But if a lot of these things don't happen now, not just lottery, but medical marijuana was one you mentioned. There's probably some others. There's no way in the 2022 session, or right at the end of a quadrennium, you're going to see much action on those controversial bills. Do you think that's a safe statement?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. That's just an old axiom that you hear a lot in Montgomery is if you don't do it, you better do it this session. And that's to try to distance themselves from controversy.
Yeah, so it's do or die time on a lot of that. I guess the hang up is who knows how the session's going to play out. But we were talking to some of your colleagues. You know, that vulnerable population serves in the Alabama legislature. But we had Dr. Stutz on last month, and he thinks that a vaccine will be a lot of you guys will have been administered a vaccine, and it's going to make it a lot easier maybe later on, maybe looking later on down the road at March or April for you to meet and be able to get some things done if you're inoculated from COVID-19.
Well, last year, we didn't pass a lot of bills, and some people think that's a great idea that we don't pass any. But it really, going in, and let me refresh everybody's memory. Yours, Jeff, I know you know, it was sometime in March, and we still didn't have any general knowledge of this virus and the damage it could be and what caused it and how contagious it might be and all of those unknown things. I checked in my hotel, and I had gotten the speaker's office to get me a spray, aerosol spray, and some other material that would be recommended by the CDC to put in my bedroom in the motel. Well, that's what I did. I got there early and went by the speaker's office and got the mist bottle and took it to my motel and turned the covers back and sprayed them real heavily and stayed in that room for the next week and let some of the legislators that stay in the same motel use some of the same CDC recommended material that was as good as we could do, I guess, as far as assurances that it was it would kill the germs.
Well, I guess we'll see how it holds up, and if you know, because what the Mississippi legislature met to change the flag and they came, a bunch of them came out of it infected with the virus, but we've learned a lot more about it. Maybe this could be pulled off, but at some point it's got to be pulled off, right? You have a void right now in Alabama politics or in Alabama government, let's say, without the legislature being really engaged, the executive seems to be shouldering a lot of the duties. Whether or not they should play that role is another question, but the legislature out of the game is really having an impact on the way government functions in Alabama.
Yeah, and there's a lot of talk about making some changes in the authority of the executive branch. I've got some real reservations about it. Other states apparently do also, because I looked at some research on that particular subject, and most of the states that started out wanting to give more authority to the legislative branch have backed off of that, or it stalled and didn't pass. So I thought that was kind of interesting that the ones that have tried to address that particular issue have been unsuccessful. And frankly, I'd look at any proposals with an open mind, but I don't know of anything you could do that wouldn't have some real communication problems, if nothing else. If you had some group trying to make a decision, you know, for example, in Baldwin County, we got a hurricane coming. How many people we got to get in touch with? What do they understand about hurricanes? Where would they get their information to make decisions? Would they listen to local officials? It's just a lot of questions. And I know the governor is stay in touch with local officials real well in the weather events that we've had in Baldwin County and Mobile County and other parts of the state.
Right. So, and that's, you know, and that's the system we operate in for better or operate under for better or for worse. So that's what I want to get to real quick. We have about three or four minutes here. What are you looking at personally, any legislation, if you would? Talk a little bit about what you want to try to promote.
Real quickly, got three things I'm working on. One is human trafficking legislation. We're researching to find out what other states have done and what might be a good model. I'm working with a national group, and there's several national groups interested. I noticed where the U.S. Marshals made a raid in Georgia. And I want to sit down with them and let them look at any draft legislation I have to see where they might make some improvements. A second thing I'm working on is paperwork for teachers, and that has gotten to be a significant thing. It was significant when the legislation was passed directing the State Department of Education to do something about it, to create a group to look at it and see if it's federally required, then, you know, we'll know that. If it's not, then why bother teaching? I've been told by several fairly young teachers that a lot of teachers are getting out of the profession just because of the paperwork issues. And I'd like to know if it's really that bad. And the State Department of Education needs to know if it's really that bad. But they've been dragging their feet on implementing this. And it's one thing I'm going to probably be my top priority initially, because I think we can do it with a joint resolution. And then the third thing I'm working on with some retired enforcement people, law enforcement people that are in the legislature, and that's coming up with some changes that would make it easier for Alabama to protect true persons that we expanding the definition of riot. We are expanding the definition of responders to include teachers and others. I just think that we need to look at the situation that they've had in other states that apparently did not have the kinds of things that we think ought to be available. For example, the canine, the dogs that work with the law enforcement, if somebody kills one of them, under the initial proposal we had, it'd be exactly like killing a police officer.
Right. So it shores up a lot of that. We've had a really rough go at it with law enforcement in Alabama. I mean, maybe we'd be caught up in the COVID stuff, but prior to that, a lot of police officers, I mean, they've been in harm's way and have paid the ultimate price for it.
Absolutely. And somebody said, well, why do you want to do that? We haven't had a problem. Well, that's the time to do it before you have a problem. And we think this is a good bill. I initially was working on it and had five separate bills, some of them short. And then when I found out these other guys were working on it too, I thought rather than duplicate the effort, we could work together. So they're working, a couple of them in Birmingham, and they're working with Legislative Reference Service to come up with legislation that would incorporate the things that I was concerned about. For the I think everything was my intent. And we all agreed that one bill would be better because it would be opposed. There'd be a lot of conversation. Don't give them five or three bills to filibuster and delay the passage. Just do one and give them a reasonable amount of time. And they come. The idea is to protect the individuals who are there legitimately protesting. We're not trying to interfere with that at all. If it's a professional rabble-rouser, right, then they're going to be treated differently.
And those do exist, no doubt about it. Representative, we're out of time here, but I appreciate you making time, and let's do this again real soon.
Anytime. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. That was State Representative Steve McMillan on the line.